All right. Please excuse my hair today. I wanted to shoot a quick pod before I have to go home and watch my son for a little bit about the CPL trap, because I wrote a newsletter about this last week, posted about it on LinkedIn a little bit, and got a lot of really good questions. And so I wanted to kind of talk to some of those questions. So first, let's give an overview of what the CPL trap is. I think a lot of time over the past couple of years, we've seen the rise in CPL bidding and ROAS bidding on Facebook and Google Ads platforms. And I think we'll continue to see that. And for me, it's a great way for us to pass data back into those platforms and say, Google or Facebook, we want you to find more of these users. So if I really want people like Quincy as a lead, and I know that at 12 o'clock every day, they are going to Google to search, and people who search at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day have a higher propensity to convert. They live in a major city. You know, there might be characteristics about them, like they recently moved, really into music, job. All this information is stuff that Google and Facebook have directly in the background, or you know, they have data points to kind of indicate, okay, maybe this person is like, you know, this is their job title, or this is the type of company that they work at based on the IPs that they're logging in from, based on the searches they're performing in Google, et cetera. So all these companies have a mountain of data that they have on us to help identify the right customers. So the more we're able to pass in those lower funnel data points into those systems, the better. CPL bidding, the challenge that I have is, so oftentimes we say, okay, Mr. or Mrs. Search Engine Marketing Manager, go out and drive more leads, and we want you to do it more efficiently. And so you'll see, you know, this game of whack-a-mole where the CPL goes down, but then which is a good thing theoretically, but then ultimately the number of opportunities and the amount of pipeline getting created goes down as well. Because when you drive in the cheapest leads, you're getting the cheapest leads.
Yeah. Right?
What I propose to companies is that they should start looking down at down funnel metrics. So typically PPC managers, wherever they are, they're using pixel-based data.
Yeah.
And I think you're missing out on a huge opportunity when you don't connect your CRM or marketing automation system to the ad platforms, so you can pass offline data back in and tell them which one of those leads was the best. And it's why, I mean, so some of the questions I've gotten are around like what metrics to pass back in. What do you do when you have low volumes of data? And it's why I'm a big proponent of like having a good marketing qualified lead metric.
Yeah. So what is that metric? Does it depend on companies?
Great question. I think marketing qualified lead should be measured on two axes. One is matched to ICP. So if you're trying to target CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, you want to see the CEO job title, and then you want to see that they're a Fortune 500 company. And then the other axis is the intent. So lowest intent is somebody who just visits your blog and never does anything. Highest intent is someone who comes onto your site, looks around, looks at pricing page, looks at the product pages, and then requests a demo from you.
Yeah.
Somebody is raising their hand. And so trials fit into that high intent category for me. Chat conversation, like people who come in through chat, pricing requests. People, those are all the types of people who really kind of fit into that high intent criteria. And so if you have that and you have Zoom Info or some other data provider, you should be able to, within the first day, you know, add an extra qualification to a lead. A lead may come in with a Gmail address. They may not give you the right job title, and they may fill out an ebook or something like that. That's not a qualified lead. So we want to get those out of the pipeline, and we don't want to tell Google or Facebook to go get us more of those leads. Want to tell them to optimize for people who are, you know, showing in like, you know, through all the data they have, more likely to convert down funnel, and also a good match to ICP for us. And they have all the data, or they have a lot of data.
A really smart thing that I would say, let's just call it like HubSpot is doing, is matching based on those signals, because you connect the ad platform and then you can tell Google, hey, this was an MQL, or this was an opportunity, or this was turned into a customer eventually,
right,
based off of those conversion metrics, and then push that back into the platform to then do what you're saying. Hey, give me more of these people, which essentially optimizes CPL, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so that's great if you're at, you know, depending on your size, but if you're driving a couple hundred leads a month and you have enough data points for an MQL to really feed the algorithm and teach it what your leads are doing, I think it's a lot easier. If you have a pretty fast sales cycle, like typically what I recommend is any metric that you can get down funnel that happens within 7 days, like pass that data into Google. Actually, any of that data, pass it into Google, because I think your PPC manager is probably spending most of their time in there. So they're optimizing to the metrics that they have in front of them. And to go between platforms can be a little clunky, and sometimes the data is different in different places. You know, I think typically we're recommending MQL, because that is something where 90% of companies, once we come in and help them identify that MQL or MQA criteria, then they're able to get that set up. They're able to get enough volume, and that qualification happens within the first day of a lead coming in from Google or Facebook.
And then you mentioned the volume thing. Does it matter? Like, does my spin threshold matter? Or is it just about optimizing? Because you could say, hey, that person's spending $50,000 like a month on ads. So maybe their CPLs are lower because they're reaching more people, more conversions, all that stuff.
Yeah. I think the CPL is typically more of a factor of the company that you're at. Like, If you're selling to an enterprise and you're targeting very specific searches, like, I think the marketplace tends to drive up the CPCs, and people are willing to pay more per lead because they're going to get more value from the specific lead. But I think your point is astute. I think it partially depends on what your spend level is, partially depends on the industry you're in and how much volume there is out there. So like, HubSpot going after small to mid-market businesses is going to have a lot higher volume than Marketo, who's going after more enterprise customers. And so when you're getting into that enterprise, it does become a little bit more difficult. And we have gotten, you know, the company where, you know, when the deal takes longer, right? Deal can take anywhere between 7 days and a year longer, right? There's always exceptions, but for deals that take longer, it can often take longer to qualify those leads. It can take longer for that pipeline to show up in the CRM or marketing automation system, and so that can be challenging for the companies. What I've really enjoyed recently, or where I think we've seen a lot of success, is when we can find a company working with mid-market or selling to mid-market companies, and pipeline, they're able to get deals in, they're able to qualify them and put a pipeline number next to those deals within the first 7 days. And we've tested out some doing ROAS bidding for companies when they have those characteristics. They have a decent amount of volume. And then we do like what I'm calling like pipeline ROAS, where we're able to get that lower funnel qualification data in the door. We're able to understand the deal size, and we're able to train the algorithms to go after the right leads based off of that. So I think the lower in the funnel you can go, the better, but it needs to, what we've seen, what we've heard from Google is after 7 days, they start to put a decay on the data, on the quality of the data that they get in after that point.
Yeah, for sure. And then, so the thing that I'm hearing is there is no essential one size fits all for everybody, right? Like you can't just say, I can't go from my old job to my new job and say, hey, we did it like this. We bid on ROAS and like, that's the end all be all, because it's likely that I could tank this current like paid strategy if I'm not looking at like the intent signals, if I'm not looking at like multiple things to say, hey, let's be really scientific and smart about what we're doing here.
Right. Yeah. And for a lot of B2B companies, there still is a feel to it, right? And if you're not getting enough data, you can't necessarily do CPL bidding or ROAS bidding. But when the opportunity emerges, when you're driving a couple hundred leads a month, I think it's something you need to test out. And I just would recommend you move down funnel as far as you can based on metrics that you get quickly that have enough volume, and test it out, because we've seen tremendous success running these types of campaigns. And you're basically training Google and Facebook to go out and get you more of your better leads.
Awesome. And so then the answer to combat the Google advisors is not to do maximize bidding for everything, for all of my things. Don't ever experiment on anything. Just dump more money into it, right? That's not what we're saying.
Yeah. I'd be very wary of the Google advisors. Yeah.
Awesome. So we only have a few minutes left. What else is significant as far as the trap, and how not, and how do you know if you are falling into the CPL bidding trap? What's the indicator?
Worst down funnel conversion. So we're huge believers that top of funnel momentum drives down funnel conversion. And so one of the things I talked about earlier was, we need to get the data in front of the PPC people so they understand how their leads are converting down funnel, because you're going to see a difference. Like, you know, based on the search terms people have, based on how they're searching for those terms, based on the language they're using within the keywords, those are all indicators of intent. And so I often find like people who search for what is plus the keyword, they're very high in the funnel versus people who are searching for like your industry plus software are typically much lower in the funnel. Usually within an industry, how people search for things is very different. I'm trying to think of an example. that I can come up with, but like, you know, for us, like somebody searching for a demand generation marketing firm is going to be much higher intent than somebody searching for a marketing firm. Like the difference between those two searches is going to be incredibly different. Whereas we don't know what the marketing firm person is searching for. They might want creative services. They might want website services. They might just want PPC, but we have a pretty good idea of what people searching for demand generation firms are looking for. And you can start to see that in the data in terms of how users convert down funnel. You can even, when you get really sophisticated, start to pay attention to churn rates based on the terms that people came in from and really understand the overall quality of
leads based on the audiences, keywords, whatever it is, depending on the platform you're on.
Yeah, and it's really sort of serendipitous that like we're talking about intent, and we always talk about intent. But I actually just read an article about the increasing importance of intent that I can link in the show notes, but like it's from Chief Martech, and it talks about if you're not like using intent as a part of kind of the strategy, and when you're doing a lot of just your campaigns, your segmentation, and like just mainly the paid component, like you could be leaving opportunities on the table. And the fantastic quote that I love about this that summarizes what we do as marketers and like getting alignment with sales is that it's marketing's job to ensure the organization never misses out on an opportunity to compete for a deal. Like this is how marketing teams become indispensable is what they say. Yeah. So like, I totally agree with that.
Yeah. 100%. Awesome.
So,
well, awesome. I got to run. I got to jet. So thanks for the quick episode, Quincy. We'll talk about this more in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Have a good one.